Grasso has been a lobbyist for the last 10 years. He has been a paid spokesman for the Constitution Pipeline that was intended to bring fracked gas through New York. We have so far stopped the Constitution Pipeline. Before that, he was an Albany politician, a place with a great reputation. There's some issues he cares a lot about, like not having equal pay. He voted against equal pay 4 times. And in fact, one time he did it as a protest vote, as I believe the only member of the assembly to vote against equal pay. So this is personally important to him, that women not have equal pay. And he's called Roe versus Wade a black mark on democracy. So I'm John Faso's worst nightmare. having spent a lot of my life fighting against money, abuse money in politics, corruption, the influence of lobbyists. But I'd say a lot of what I hope I bring to this race, and this is 11 unbelievably beautiful counties, all of the Catskills, all of Dirty Dancing. extraordinary farmland, much of which is unused, is really a lifetime of being involved in really, really, really hard fights and being part of winning those hard fights. And so I want to talk not just about me, but about some incredible populist successes over the last 5 years, because I know it can feel a little dispiriting. I didn't know that Astra was going to be here. She's been part of some great successes recently. But if you were to say, 6 years ago if we were going to ban fracking in New York, people would say that was nuts. It was impossible. Fossil fuel companies had way too much power. Because of grassroots organizing and truth-telling, New York activists won a fracking ban in New York State, one of the greatest environmental victories of the last several years. Working with fractivists in kitchens and basements, in rooms, organizing, figuring out pressure points, figuring out the key facts that we needed to share about healthy water, figuring out the stories we needed to tell about Pennsylvania, and we won that fight because of grassroots organizing and truth-telling. That's the way to win right now. 3 years ago, you would have said Comcast was going to merge with Time Warner. And you would have said that we wouldn't have network neutrality. I've been part of a national grassroots organization, again, meeting in kitchens, meeting on Skype conference calls to organize millions of people making comments, stopping Comcast Time Warner merger, getting net neutrality against Comcast, which kind of owns Washington, D.C., is a major lobbying force and has bought Democrats and Republicans organizing and truth-telling, and we stopped that. I wish we'd stopped the charter merger. We didn't succeed in doing that. But I was on the ground fighting for that really from the beginning. After the crash of 2008, I co-founded a group dedicated to breaking up big banks. We haven't done that yet. it was called A New Way Forward. A lawyer from J.P. Morgan tried to get us to change the name because they had an ad campaign called The Way Forward, and they didn't want it to be confused. but we held 180 events around the country. Like the Fractivist, it was all about people educating themselves about banking policy, and then brought grassroots citizen lobbyists to Washington to sit in the antechamber. We didn't always get to talk to the Congress member. Sometimes it was a third-tier staffer, but bringing citizen lobbyists there to say, we've got to break up big banks, we've got to support Glass-Steagall, we've got to support a bill called Brown-Kaufman, which was Sherrod Brown's bill to break up big banks. I know we made a difference. We worked with 250 other labor and consumer groups, and I know that being there made a difference on Section 716. these little but major changes and derivatives reforms that having grassroots organizers and the people in the room instead of a handful of big lobbyists is key. I think a year ago people would have thought the Trans-Pacific Partnership would already exist. And so far, we have stopped the TPP. And I'm sure there are people in this room who've been part of that. I've been holding forums since long before running for Congress. Again, educating, truth-telling, grassroots organizing. In this historic moment, we are not going to beat big money by just pairing it with big money. I'm going to raise the money I need to run this race and to get to reach people, and I'm going to talk to you later about how you can help. But the way we're actually going to win is by bringing people in who are right at that edge of angry and numb and saying, you have something worth, a story worth telling. You don't need to be, and you probably are, you don't need to be an economist to speak to your Congress member about breaking up big banks. Congress isn't for the elites, it's for all of us. So I am confident I can win this race and then in Congress be a voice for bringing you to tell your story, or the music teacher from Ellenville to tell her story about Common Core. I was also involved in the opt-out movement here in New York State. A big opponent of Common Core. I work with Republicans, Independents, Democrats on that, and we've changed policies. We still have ways to go. So that's sort of my vision of how we get across that ridge, is that in this opening, creating space for the people who are shut out to be part of politics. Our campaign is built that way. We have local groups and local wisdom that are all feeding into our campaign, and I want to continue to build that. My dream is to have 100 local groups of seven by the fall. The primary is going very well. I'm very lucky to have a primary opponent who I agree with on most policy issues. That wasn't true the last time I ran. But we've had a very civil primary, and I'm sure there are folks in the room, especially since we're here in Columbia County, who know my primary opponent, and I hope have a good relationship with him. I am working to earn every vote in the primary, but already working at the same time to reach out to independents and Republicans who also feel like the system is really not working and are looking for some shaking up. So let's see, what else can I tell you about the race? It's going to be a national target. It's a swing district. It's not a Democratic district. It is not a Republican district. It is an independent district. Most people here think of themselves as independents, even if they're registered Democratic or Republican. And I'm really proud, by the way, to have the support of Kirsten Gillibrand, who I know many of you were critical in getting elected the first time and have been part of her rise. So thank you for that. But she also, you know, she has shown the ability to, as a Democrat, connect with independent thinking people across this whole region. Barack Obama, in this 19th congressional district, won by 6 points. And Chris Gibson, won by 5, the Republican Chris Gibson, who's retiring. It's an open seat. So when I say swing district, the same people the same year vote for a Republican and a Democrat. So they're voting with their heart, and they're voting with who they think is going to fight for them, and not close the door and just have the conversation with the lobbyist. What this means is, Jim is not here tonight, but maybe one of you is affiliated, I doubt it. I have a fellow named Jim. I know his name is Jim because he has to answer basic questions. He's come to all my events. He videotapes me. I said, what's your name? He said, Jim. I said, do you work for a super PAC? He said, yes. I said, is it America Rising? He said, yes. So America Rising, which is a right-wing super PAC, already has what's called a tracker, a person who is following me to all public events and trying to get me to say something funny, which I promise I will.
please.
Yes, exactly. And we're going to be a target. Look at me now because I will become, you know, painted in all kinds of different ways. There's going to be...
mostly in green.
millions of dollars of super PAC money, and we don't know who super PAC, who funds super PAC, so if you see Jim at any events, ask him who his funders are. So it's a real target race. there's going to be a lot of Republican attention. We got to build grassroots power. They really don't want to lose this seat because they've held it with Chris Gibson, who were from very different parties. I have a great relationship with him. He's a gracious human being. He's done amazing work on Lyme disease. They really don't want to lose, the Republicans really don't want to lose this seat, but they're going to. I think sometimes our imagination gets blocked by just years of big money telling us that we gotta have trickle down. and big money telling us that we can't invest in infrastructure. So I think we can have, I know we can have universal, high speed, affordable broadband.
Yeah.
Development theory is for this area, we need it.
Yeah.
It's a total disaster. I'm a big admirer of FDR. And FDR in the 1930s worked with Republican senators to get the Rural Electrification Act passed. Because rural areas were devastated by the lack of electricity. Well, rural areas across this country are being killed by the lack of broadband access and a functional cell service. For those, if you don't know anybody, all of you know somebody who says they want to live here and work on a design firm or something, but can't because of broadband or cell service.
Yep.
But it's not just that, it's farmers. I was talking to a farmer last week, 2 weeks ago, who was saying, I do my crop rotations using the internet, so if the internet's down, I can't do my crop rotations. It's fundamental to any kind of job. We can have that here. We can have a world and a district in which 1 in 5 people are making something. I know it's hard to imagine given our trade policy. We should renegotiate NAFTA and renegotiate our trade deals so that we are assembling iPhones in Hudson. We can be, yes. Or recycling electronic waste. we are already. I think it's important as we move forward to open our imagination to a world in which we're making things here. Because that's possible. We have the skills. And I believe a thriving economy relies on makers, local makers. New Balance makes all the shoes in the United States. We can have shoe manufacturing, we can do manufacturing here. It's not going to look like the manufacturing of the 50s. It's not going to look like the manufacturing of a different time. But it can happen here, and we've got to demand that in our future. Mm-hmm. We can have an economy that supports the mid-scale farmer who's right now being devastated. So the farmer that's having the hardest time is making between $40,000 and $400,000 in gross income every year. Our farm policy does not support that farmer. The farmer who could be supplying the apples for our schools. I'll give Cuomo's administration great credit for moving in a wonderful direction in terms of supporting the some of the local agriculture here. But there's a lot of federal work we need to do. 75% of subsidies go to big bag farms. So we're importing here dairy protein from New Zealand. And China, which makes no sense. We have extraordinary dairy land.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are eating hamburgers from out west and other countries, which makes no sense. We have extraordinary land for grass-fed cattle. We have to stop subsidizing big ag and stop a trade policy that encourages us to get apples from Peru instead of next door. Somebody told me a story, you guys probably know the Local Economies Project, there's extraordinary work already happening in this, but federal policy doesn't support it. McDonald's, you have those little plastic bags of apples? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about, little sliced apples?
Yes.
A lot of them are from here, you know, from around here, from more from Ulster, but they get shipped to Texas to get sliced up. and then returned to the McDonald's here to get eaten. We can have the best apple slicers. So in 10 years, if we really take on Big Ag, really support the what's happening in the private sector with local economies, with federal policy, we can do extraordinary things. But we're not going to do it. This, you know, like a lot of campaigns are policy against policy, where you just do a checklist. I think this year is about power. That the problem is not like finding out the precise number next to X or Y. It's, are you willing to take on Monsanto? Are you willing to take on Dean Foods? Are you willing to take on Comcast or Pfizer? We have to name the names of the companies who are really taking over our politics, because they're the real problem. They're getting in the way of our thriving and our growth. Activists in America and in the world. You're all in the room. I have no lessons to tell you, more ask you to join me, because any congressional campaign this year that's going to be populist, naming names, taking on powers, has to be grassroots-based, has to be locally charged and excited, and I really hope you come along with me. So thanks. Questions. You remember I'm about to take on the Koch brothers. So but I also want to say that besides questions, I really like, after the questions, I also want to hear your stories, because you have wisdom that I can talk to you afterwards, but I want to hear about what is happening that you see. So that I can learn from that and take those stories forward. So you know that rule they have after, you know, like only questions? I do not have that rule. Any question should be formed as a statement. Yes.
Even more yard signs than for yourself,
yeah,
Yandic, Heaney, or Faso, there are Safe Act,
yes,
yard signs, repeal the Safe Act,
yeah,
yard signs in this area. We have this crazy gun culture, and you can really, of course, see it in our district. In the wake of Orlando, what do we do to really, I mean, why should there be anything except rifles that are usable for hunting deer and other animals to license people? Why should anybody have a handgun? Why should anybody have an assault rifle? Orlando was committed by somebody with who had a legally purchased the equivalent of an MR-16 military rifle, an AR-15. Legally purchased in the state of Florida. Somebody who had already been investigated by the FBI for terrorist associations of some kind, of sympathies.
Yeah.
So in this district, how do you communicate that in this district where there are more yard signs for repeal the Safe Act than any other civic cause?
I actually just first want to have a moment of silence for the victims of Orlando. It has been, as I am learning, like really hard to hear about. Really hard to hear about, both because of anybody who's killed, the number of people killed, and then it was clearly a hate crime.
Right.
That doesn't answer your question, but... So there is no place in society for weapons that are designed exclusively to kill people. I have not been updated fully on the nature of the weapons, so I need to report and talk about the particulars. But I understand there are a couple of weapons used. And
there was a legally purchased
AR-15
assault rifle. Yeah.
I stand with Bernie Sanders on saying that there is no space for these guns designed solely for killing people. Two, and I recognize I may disagree with people in this room about this, but I want to tell you where I'm coming from and how I believe we get towards a safer future, which I don't think it's easy. I really don't think it's easy, and it's not just a law question.
No.
Yeah. I come from a family where there are rifles downstairs and a shotgun upstairs for killing raccoons, getting to the chickens, and where hunting is a big part of the culture. And I believe that the way in which, I actually think we can learn from what I think were mistakes in the passage of the SAFE Act. The way in which the SAFE Act was passed after another horrific shooting was not the right way to do legislation. It was passed using what's called a message of necessity. And there are 15 different parts of it. So it was passed very quickly without people giving input, and ended up criminalizing guns that are regularly used as tools by a lot of people throughout this area and a lot of people throughout the area in which I grew up. I think that shut down conversations instead of opened them up. And there are elements like the element that the Veterans Administration is opposed to, that I am as well, that require heightened mental health reporting requirements. Because the VA and I and others are concerned that people would not come in to talk to therapists when they're dealing with various issues. So there's these different elements of the SAFE Act. I think to get to a more safe future, it is going to take a lot of time in a lot of kitchens and a lot of rooms with really respectful, open conversation so that we can have laws that there's a much broader buy-in than there was around the SAFE Act.
No, I didn't mean about the SAFE Act in particular, but,
okay.
but I meant in this district, how do you communicate your position, which is that which would mean no handguns and no assault rifles? That position would be anathema in this district to many people. They would that would be a fundamental violation to the NRA. You'd be on their hit list if you took that position.
So just to be very precise, we will be coming out with a guns policy very shortly. What I've already said for a while now is that I am opposed to the way the SAFE Act was passed. I'm supportive of the closure of the gun show loophole, which also federally. And the definitions around the kinds of guns are really important to be done in a respectful way, engaging a lot of people, and to be done right. So there may be areas on guns that you and I don't agree on. I'm just telling you that's sort of, I found that I've been able to, there's some people who are never going to vote for me, and that's okay. I can have a respectful conversation. But it's really important to me to start from a position of respect and understanding that guns play many different roles in society. Yes.
I wanted to talk, well, first of all, I wanted to say that I first heard of you on the radio, the lawyers, Lawrence Lessig, and you were talking about, you know, money and politics, basically, and I love the idea of overturning Citizens United, but how does one go about doing it, and how can we help?
Okay.
That's a big question.
Yes, so right now, everything has changed. Everything has changed. We didn't know it was going to be called Citizens United. We knew something was sort of wrong in 2007. I started writing about corruption, and then I was cited extensively in the dissent of Citizens United. So I plan to be in the majority next time. But right now, there are four justices who strongly think that Citizens United was wrongly decided and are ready to overturn it. And there are four justices who strongly think that Citizens United was rightly decided and are ready to uphold it and possibly extend it and protect more corporate speech. It is critical that the next justice, the most important grassroots energy on the Citizens United in particular, is in demanding that the next Supreme Court justice who is confirmed would overturn Citizens United. And that can happen. Different situation a year and a half ago from the lawyers talking about it. Second, we need public financing of elections. We need it. We need it at every level. We need it local, federal, national, state, dog catcher. We need it for everything. It works. In a public financing system that works, if I raise $5 from you, what do you think? then I get a match of, say, $50. So it encourages me as a congressional candidate to talk to people with $5 instead of talk to people with $500. Mm-hmm. It is a feminist issue, it is a race issue, it is a class issue. Far more women run for office under a public financing system, far more people of color run for office. And basically rich, right now, only rich people can run for Congress. Over half of Congress is millionaires. I'm not. It's a huge problem. And do you guys know how much time people spend in Congress raising money?
Too much.
Every day.
It is the majority. It's the biggest. It's between 40 and 70%. 40 and 70%. How do you have time to learn about erosion issues if you're basically learning jokes that rich people like? You know, it's like the main job of a congressperson is to flatter the wealthy. That is not a job description that makes any sense in any system. We have to move, even if we overturn Citizens United, that doesn't change. Mm-hmm. So we need to also have public financing of elections. I have been fighting for this for a while. It's something I will work with John Sarbanes on. He's a Congress member who sort of goes to the wall on it every day, saying we need to do this fundamental change. And in New York State, we need to be electing Democrats to the state Senate. I want to give a shout out to Sean Francis, who's running. Here, we need to elect Democrats so we can have public financing in New York State. All Democrats in New York State say they support public financing. Half of them are telling the truth. So if we have a Democratic Senate, a Democratic Assembly, and a Democratic Governor, we should get public financing. We're only going to get it if we organize and we raise hell around it. But it will be possible if we elect a Democratic Senate, because right now we have a Republican Senate, so it's blocked there. So there are real paths right now for change, and I feel like, how would you feel if you were a suffragist in 1899? It's, you know, decades of work, nothing. The work towards public financing an election in New York State is decades of work, and we can't give up. It's really important, even though it's been decades. It is possible, it can be changed, but it's going to take people who are like, oh, I've been working on this my whole life, I'm ready to give up, to not give up and re-engage on this issue. Yeah.
Would Andrew Cuomo support that?
Really? Cuomo has said that he supports it.
Do you believe him? So many people here in Columbia County are feeling like you've written off Columbia County because there's not much presence here, and we're happy to have you here today.
Yes.
So have you written off Columbia County?
No.
And maybe you could just say a little bit about. I mean, I think we are exceedingly lucky to have two excellent candidates running.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's that we all know that.
Yeah.
And but so it's great to see you here. But
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how you see the race going here.
Well, I have been blessed with extraordinary support throughout Columbia and Chatham and Hudson and elsewhere, and I thank all of you who have already helped out. I'm very excited about supporting, one thing that I think is really important in Northern Dutchess and Columbia is making sure that we have access to loans for young farmers who want to get engaged in farming, because there's this growing movement, but it's often the land prices have become sort of out of reach. That's something that I have talked to people about and think is really important. That's not specific to this area, but there's a lot of activity in this area around that, which I think is very exciting. Broadband is an issue I hear throughout Columbia County. And then also, which is just clearly just a huge block. And separate from what we can do on federal policy, I think it's important to be, like the mayor of Chatham, supporting mayors who are themselves negotiating with Time Warner and others. It's a bully pulpit role. It's something I've talked to a lot of local leaders about, what we can do in those areas. It's also the heart of the arts. I don't know how you feel about being number two in the country.
We'll take it.
For those of you who don't know, Columbia County has the second highest percentage of artists of any county in America. Those artists of you who don't live here, come quickly. And I actually didn't talk about it as much in today's comments, but supporting the arts is central to who I am. I think we're having a national fight about what a person is, basically. You know, in schools, in work, and you know, a lot of these are sort of fundamental, like, are we widgets or are we people? How does it go? Are we dancers or, yeah. I am a major advocate for the arts pre-K up. What do you think? The more you're in an isolated rural area, the more you need music. The more you need visual arts, theater, and also sports and recess, which I think is essential to any education. That is another way in which I have connected to and gained great grassroots support here locally.
Great. Thank you.
Another. I will say again, I'm lucky to have such a civil campaign, but I think there's a lot of excitement because people are excited about me beating John Faso.